final segment of the show. It's going to be maybe the best segment. Is the Friday mailbag the best segment of the week? It might be. It's one of the better ones. It's a lot of fun. You send your questions in. We try to answer your questions. It's Satyar Shah with Bik Nizar here on Canuck Central. And as always, this hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by BC Liquor. Until May 31st, explore their exceptional selection at Save and save like $7 on a 36-pack of old-style Pilsner. Visit your nearest BC Liquor today. Enjoy responsibly. It's Satyar Shah, Bik Nizar. Elon Shark is our producer, and Elon, let's get it going with the mailbag.
May 2nd, I don't know if we've had this many questions when the Canucks aren't in the playoffs. This is crazy.
People are hyped up, man. People are hyped up, or I'd say they're concerned.
We're going to start off with an unsigned text. Having created the chaos surrounding the Canucks, are you confident Rutherford can resolve the chaos he created?
Confident? Short answer, I'm not confident.
Is there a chance he can? Absolutely.
I'm not confident, no.
The thing is, can you solve this chaos? Yeah, I'm actually like fairly confident that they can solve this chaos. Does that mean the next chaos won't happen? No. Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, it comes down to Quinn, obviously, a big part of it. And the other thing is there are so few options to improve the team and there's so much competition to improve teams. Are you going to be able to outbid and outmaneuver teams with the very scarce assets that are going to be available? I don't care who you are as a GM. You could have the best GM in the world and I still might be somewhat unconfident about it going in because I find the degree of difficulty to be so high with what they have to do here in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I can't sit here and express great confidence. Can you? You can't either. Can you guys? Costa, can you express great confidence? Costa?
Not at all.
No. Elon?
I mean, like you said, any great GM, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But what we talk about improving the team here. This one's from Chris. The Canucks have far too much salary committed to players that are best suited in a third-line role. He's counting at least six. Chris names Hoglander, Hedl, Joshua, O'Connor, Sherwood, Garland. And Chris asks, if you were a GM, who would you consider trading in order to free up cap space for a legit top six addition?
Well, I don't know if a third liner is going to get you a top six guy, but we've brought this up as far as like guys that can fit into third line and below roles. Yeah, like there's a lot of guys, and to me, the one that makes the most sense is Connor Garland.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the only other guy would be Hronek, who would be higher end.
Sure.
Player, not a forward, but like he would be a higher end piece that could probably bring you something pretty valuable. You're talking about a right hand defenseman who's scored at a very high rate the past few years, locked in.
His no moving clause also kicks in
July 1st.
July 1st. Yeah.
I'd say him, he could probably bring you. Can he get your second line center? He might. I don't know about a first line center, but can you get a second line center? That's just to talk about the valuation. I don't think they would do that, or I'm not expecting them to do that. Mm-hmm. But forward wise, and Garland's not enough on his own, but if he's part of a package. Let's say a pick and a prospect, then you put Garland. Would that move the needle for somebody potentially?
It just, again, he can play second line, yes. But he's best suited as a third liner. And yeah. Like Joshua's there, O'Connor's there, Sherwood's there, Hoglander's there, Carlson's there. It's a lot of bodies. You can't play all these guys.
But can you afford to move him until you get a better idea of, well, I guess if he's part of the solution, you get the center.
Yeah.
And you keep, you know, the one value that Garland brings, and I've been one of the bigger Garland skeptics, I'd say, in the market, right, as far as media is concerned. But, you know, give him his flowers and his credit when he's playing well. But one thing he undeniably does is make a line work. And have a guy that can run your third line is not invaluable, and especially a guy who wins his matchups. And for a team that has very few play drivers, losing another one would be difficult. So I don't think it's just easy to get rid of him. I do think, you know, for a team that has very few guys that can drive a line, he's one guy that can actually do that. Preferably would be on a third line, not a second line.
But timing-wise.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're going to give him an extension?
You've got a far bigger issue, yeah.
Well, are you going to sign him?
Yeah.
Right? That's going to be the
question.
Well,
do you put any value in having a heart and soul guy?
I do. And I think those things do matter, especially for a team that is very quiet as it is. And they talk about leaders and vocal guys, and he's taken a bigger role. I wonder if they see some intangible value for a guy like Garland, too.
This one's from Andrew. Is it safe to assume that a Hughes trade would bring back the Pronger package or less?
Pronger. So Pronger trade was it was Eric Brewer, right? First round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he got traded a couple times, Chris Pronger.
I'm assuming we're talking about the one
with Edmonton?
Yeah.
Let me bring up the exact trade
here. It
was
Brewer, Doug Lynch, and Jeff Wojtka. I mean, are we talking about the one to Anaheim? That was Joffrey Lupul, Smead, and a first-round pick,
Yeah, two first-round picks. Yeah. But now, he was a lot older then, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what the point is. Like, you're probably not getting what you think.
Well, okay, so I know there's all this talk, too, of like, oh, if they're going to lose him in a year, just do it now, and someone can pay maximum price. The concern I would have, too, is... Like, any problem the Canucks are having of, like, oh, how do we keep Quinn Hughes? The next team is going to have it. And does that limit the price to say, mm-hmm. hey, if we trade for you, are you going to come here? Like, are you going to stay here when we want to sign you, too?
Yeah.
So
I guess the...
I don't know if the price will really get suppressed, but I do have that fear a little bit.
Yeah, so it ended up being to Anaheim for Joffrey Lupul, Ladislav Smead, a first-round pick. Another first-round pick, which ended up being Jordan Eberle, and a second-round pick, which ended up being Travis Hamonic.
Okay.
So that was two first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a couple of guys that were decent players, right? You can probably get a package like that, and I'm sure you can even get that in the last year of his contract.
Well, the guy I would use is Mikko Rantanen. Like, we just saw a superstar get traded.
Two first-round picks and a really good prospect.
And a really, really good prospect, which would probably get you a first, second, and a third type deal anyway. So you'll get a decent package.
And Rantanen was traded at the deadline.
Yeah. As a UFA.
UFA. You know, so, and could they have gotten more for Rantanen the year prior? Sure, but is it the difference between a first and a top prospect? Maybe it's a second, right? Like, maybe it's an extra second if you move him a bit earlier. Like, I don't think the people have this notion of if you trade him, say, this year instead of next season, you're getting a significantly greater package. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think you could get more, but I think the valuation is going to be like maybe a extra second you can get now as opposed to later. I don't know if it's going to be enough for you to, you know, have to do it today. You know what I mean? But that's going to be the question. Are you getting more than just hope and prayers, which is like a couple good picks, prospect? Like, people talk about, I mentioned this too with the Devils last week. People are like, you get Nico Hischier. I don't think they're giving you Nico Hischier for Quinn Hughes. It'll be like Nemec, Mercer, a first round pick, maybe Timo Meier because they want to get rid of the money or something, right? Like, it's not going to, like, teams are going to be trading their top guys, right? So that's why, you know, yes, you can get a good return for Quinn, but it may not be what you think.
I mean, in 2006, that's when the Ducks traded for Pronger. Mm-hmm. They would have had Getzlaff. They would have had Perry.
Yeah,
but they didn't trade those guys. Lupul.
Yeah, Lupul's nice, but yeah. Again, they might do a Mercer or a Meier, but they're not doing Hischier. They're not doing Jack Hughes. They're not doing Jesper Bratt, for instance. Like, you're not getting those guys, right?
From Jim Leahy, if Vancouver isn't a high destination for people on July 1st, do you think it's better to trade for players? And he mentions Joel Eriksson Ek.
you're just not getting Joel.
You know
what's
weird about that comment today from Rutherford on the 100% Hockey podcast? He mentions that we're not going to be on the top of leaders of getting players to Western Canada. Kiefer Sherwood's not from Western Canada.
No,
he came out here. Dakota Joshua's not from Western Canada. He came out here. Like, they've gotten players.
No, it's true. But now I think there's a difference between giving Dakota Joshua a small contract and Sherwood 1.5. I think what he's trying to talk about, I would assume, is the best players, like high-end guys. Let's say Marner. Mm-hmm. Let's say Rantanen, who's not getting there. If he would have got the free agency, I think that's what he's trying to say. Like, we're not going to be the team.
Money always
talks
in those scenarios, though.
It's true, but I don't think he's wrong. Listen.
How much of a lesson did they take from the Gensel thing, though? Of like, oh, okay, we're gonna have a
hey, we have an in, but then all of a sudden, as soon as Tampa came, it's like, hey, I'd rather go here, but. Do I agree with him saying it publicly? I think it's probably best left unsaid. I do agree with that. But I don't think he's wrong. I don't think it's anything we don't already know. The Vancouver is not going to be the top destination for every player. There's some players that like Vancouver, but they're going to have a hard time attracting some free agents. That's true. I think we all know
but
that.
But wouldn't it even be less more so this season? After, look, last year, Canucks had one of their best seasons ever. Maybe I could be the missing piece. I'm going to come there. And well, you potentially know what, win a championship, where this season doesn't look like that.
There's some top six roles available right now, so if you want to show me contract, you can step into a pretty prime role right now.
Yeah.
This one's from Indian Rocket. Thoughts on bringing in Manny and the Sedins as the Canucks coaching staff?
So, I mean, I'm not against Manny being the coach, necessarily. I'm not against one of the Sedins being part of the coaching staff. But you got to have somebody who's been a head coach on that staff.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to have somebody at the very least.
Can't have a complete rookie group
no,
here.
No, you can't. We've seen those things before. They usually don't work out.
I will say, like, the level of self-awareness from the Twins in particular, just because, like, the Manny experience is still new, but they wanted to go through the entire process of, like, I need to know this, mm-hmm. I need to know this, I need to know that, and develop the whole process to just thrust them into the scenario, too, of, all right, like, you're on the coaching staff. They've played this well from their vantage points.
This one's from Mike. Is Suter, Besser, and a new first or second line center enough this offseason?
Suter, Besser, and a...
Resign Suter, resign Besser, and they get a new one or two center.
I mean, you need to know who the center is.
Well, yeah, I think... Well, it depends on what you're doing to get that center. The thing is, if you're bringing Besser and Suter back, it goes back to that question about who else you're trading off the roster. But mm-hmm. if you bring Besser and Suter back, that eats up the $14 million that you have about for two spots. Most of it you eat up. So you have to move money to find that center. It all depends on who that player is. If it's a legitimate needle-moving top six guy, then yeah. I mean, that would be better. But I have a hard time seeing them being significantly better if they're keeping Besser and Suter. Like, I just don't know how you're getting better on top of that with the money that you have available.
You would need about $7+ million.
Philip Hronek, again, we're looking at him.
It is odd, too, that Jim Rutherford mentioned, oh, yeah, we believe Willander can play in the top or play in the NHL next season. Well, there's already some bodies there. You got Hronek, Myers, Mancini. It's going to be hard to find games in that scenario. And that, like, someone's going to have to be out of the lineup often. So.
Yeah, but most likely what happens is they trade. Yeah. I think more likely that they don't bring those two guys back, maybe one of them, and then trade one of their prospects and pick or whatever to get a player on top of it. And then maybe sign another winger in free agency in that $4 million range, maybe.
The 15th overall pick, we hardly knew ye. Draft lottery on Monday, by the way.
You're too hyped up for the draft lottery.
Yeah, I mean, well, we don't see the playoffs. We may as well get hyped for the lottery.
This one's from Jeffro. Out of all the candidates available, who would you guys pick to be the Canucks' next head coach?
Of all the candidates?
Assuming money is not an issue and circumstance, and are you in an attractive spot? If you had your pick of everyone available right now,
who's the best available?
Oh, actually, I was going to say Sullivan, but he's gone.
But he's gone, yeah. I mean, Sullivan's off the list.
Torts is off the list, too.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not do that again.
Too bad, man. I don't know. I've been thinking about this a lot. This is why we kind of like defaulted to, like, if you go with Manny, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, who's significantly better? I'm not quite sure. Man, I don't want to. I hate not answering the question.
I kind of want to see if there's any movement here.
I was hoping John Cooper, but.
Yeah. that's kind of what I was trying to say. But, I mean, even Julien Brisebois today was like, no.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
Ah, it's a tough question. Can you answer it? Do you guys have an answer? Do you have a preference?
That's tough.
Like, it's not great. Like, imagine what Rutherford and those guys are going through. It's like, I like Manny a lot, but is he ready for this? Would he really want this job?
Like, Sullivan was the top of the list.
What if Rick Tocchet?
Yeah. Bring him back.
Run it back.
Let's bring back Bruce.
Oh god!
You know what? I won't be a coward. I'll put a name on it. I'll go Derek Lalonde.
Derek Lalonde?
Yeah, why not? All right,
and maybe not Derek. I'll just say Manny then.
Yeah, that would be my pick here.
All right, this one's from Taj. When's the last time your phone died golfing?
My phone died recently, yesterday, literally.
So really? It happens. Yeah, there we are.
I don't think
0%.
My phone. I can't remember the last time my phone died.
Like pure 0%.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time.
Again, I charged it in 7 minutes later, but it definitely got to zero.
Yeah.
I think that's more common than...
I'm sure it's common. Yeah. I'm to answer the question truthfully.
You're built different?
No, I just, you know, I don't leave my phone in my house without it being, you know, charged properly. Like right now, I'm charging my phone as we speak.
Yeah.
And then once I get out of here tonight, I don't need to charge my phone until tomorrow or tonight when I go to bed.
I haven't been golfing in a long time, so that's a too specific of a question.
Yeah, but like when you go golfing, depends what time you go. Like I know most people don't you charge your phone overnight.
You shouldn't be on your phone while you're golfing.
Right? No, and don't you charge your phone overnight?
Oh yeah.
And then if you go golfing, you usually go during the day, so like you know it shouldn't run out. I'm not saying Quinn is lying. I'm just saying it's odd that its battery ran out during golf.
Fair
taking pictures of the swing. He's like, I got to work on my swing. Take some videos. And it just drains the battery.
Maybe he had the brightness up because it was a sunny day. The brightness was on full and that drains battery, right? Maybe he had his sound system set up a little bit, like a small little speaker on the golf cart.
Just texting his brothers.
Yeah. Can you believe what Rutherford just said?
All right. There is some good positive sports stories going on in Vancouver. So we're going to switch over to that. What has you guys most excited about Vancouver sports right now? Abby Canucks in the playoffs, Vancouver Warriors, or the Vancouver Whitecaps?
It's tough not for it to not be the Whitecaps. I mean, Abbotsford's not quite Vancouver. It is. I mean, like,
similar.
Yeah,
we'll
say
the region.
The region. Okay. If you want to include Abbotsford in the region, you know, obviously that's a great story. Mm-hmm. But what the Whitecaps are doing, this is the best they've been ever in the MLS.
I'm stunned. Like, it's crazy how well it's been. I'll say the Whitecaps. It's such a resurgence. And, like, big credit to Jesper Sorensen. If this continues the whole season, studies need to be done. It's like, what worked here?
Because when he got hired, I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, I know. But
and credit to Axel Schuster. It's all worked here. So, yeah, like, the whole process needs to be evaluated. Be like, okay, how do you do this? Like, what translates to other sports? What about this works so well here that it flipped so quickly?
And it's like all these guys are playing out of their mind. I saw somebody mention they're
it's
like,
"It's not as if some dodgy wins. It's like set piece. It looks attractive. It's proactive. They're winning. They're crushing."
Well, all these players like Bernhalter, all these guys are playing at like one or two levels above anything they've ever done. I saw also a couple of soccer MLS guys make this point. Like all these guys are decent players, but then none of them have been stars, and now they're like superstars all of a sudden. It's unreal. Like sometimes this happens in sports. Teams just, you know, catch fire. Things fall. It's kind of like what happened with Vegas.
Doing it without Ryan Gauld.
Right.
Like, it's stunning.
It's kind of like when the Golden Knights and Misfits came together and like all of a sudden it just exploded. That's like the best example I can make. Not that this was a Misfit team, but they built a great squad. And you're right. It's entertaining soccer. It's not just like, hey, they're winning matches. Like they're going out there and like dummying teams.
So this has got to be one of the best times of the year for sports right now. Late April, early May. With that being said, what are you guys enjoying more, the NBA or NHL playoffs?
NHL.
Yeah, NHL playoffs. I mean, the NBA, I was so hyped for the Lakers. They're done in five.
Yeah. I think the first round, nothing's going to beat the NHL. Conference finals of the NBA is usually really, really good.
Well, I mean, like, we're not even getting a game seven in the first round, like, unless the Rockets win today.
No, it's the Nuggets.
They play on Saturday, right?
Been a crazy series.
That's been a great series. That's the one really, really good series. I've liked the Warriors series, too. I thought game five was a dud because the Rockets took a big lead. I know they made a game of it late there, kind of, but I've liked that series. I've enjoyed watching that. But I'd say hockey would get the edge for me in the first round. Yeah.
What are you guys' thoughts on the Cleveland Browns QB room? Took two rookie quarterbacks in the draft.
I mean,
I think it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't feel great about the Browns in general. Why would I? But I do think I like the swings they took. And I think that they have a decent game manager, or not a game manager, a gunslinger in Flacco. Pickett can probably just like hand the ball off, right, and do that if they need.
And he's gonna get cut.
Yeah,
nobody needs five quarterbacks.
No, they have. Well, I mean, Watson's not gonna play this year, right? He's injured.
Yeah,
so he's gonna be on the pup list anyway. So it's the four guys, and I would agree with Bick. I think Pickett's most likely, but I could see Flacco getting traded. Like if Flacco is okay, and then somebody gets hurt somewhere, and the young guys look okay sometime in camp or towards the end, I could see Flacco getting traded to a team that had an injury at quarterback.
I think Shadour starts week one.
You think Shador?
Yeah.
No.
That would be awesome.
I think they're just going to get to camp.
He's
be like, you know this guy that was like round one, round two grade that we got in the fifth round? He's actually just so much better than these guys. Let's just start him.
Yeah, I could see it happening. And I mean, the best case scenario is it works out, and then the Browns have two first round picks next year. Don't need to get a quarterback, but now we're dreaming.
Well, if they have a high pick, they'll trade him. It would be a great scenario.
Great scenario.
Yeah.
Could 100 sats take down a gorilla? Unsigned.
100 sats. I don't know. So
Not a chance.
So I've been trying to do the science on this, and I've seen some scientists talk about this as well. And I see conflicting, you know, reports about whether you can take down a gorilla or not. I don't think we can.
We were having this conversation in the office the other day, too. I think the gorilla wins every time.
Yeah. Definitely not.
I think we're underestimating like how much a 600-pound animal that like moves quickly, the force it would generate as you try to like dogpile
it. I think the biggest thing that's going to happen is that the first couple people he almost decapitates is going to terrify everybody else. You're going to go after that gorilla after he like rips some dude in half.
You need real soldiers.
Yeah,
or
it's
like
either
trained.
You or him. Yeah. So.
But.
Yeah, no. No, I don't think so. Like, I think people underestimate, like, you know, what these animals can do to you.
Yeah. Just let them be. My two questions were, we were having this discussion. I was like, what's the venue? Right? If it's like in the fields, edge to the gorilla, like if there's trees, the gorilla can jump up and rest, but also like attack from above. Yeah. And then the other one was like, does the gorilla know it's a fight? Because, like, if it doesn't, then maybe you get the early edge and it just picks up.
Well, is the gorilla well-fed or not? Like,
yeah.
These are all the questions.
If we're allowed to draft a dream team, we got to make it optimal conditions.
Because all I can think about, like, you guys ever see that clip of George St. Pierre next to a silverback gorilla? He was, like, terrified.
I live in a different corner of the internet than you.
Sometimes I see some clips. So, anyways, there's this, like, you know, he was, like, trekking or whatever, and the silverback kind of came back next to him, and he was like terrified. He was shrinking next to it, and the thing was like so much bigger. I'm like, this is one of the toughest men in the world, and he's just like terrified of standing next to a silverback, and we think we're gonna go out there and beat one of these guys up. Like, I don't think so.
They're so huge. I'm trying to find this GSP clip now.
I don't know, you get the right team.
No,
put it together.
Right. No, man.
10 Shaqs, 10 1 Satshaw. 10 Undertakers.
Who would be the first overall pick if you were drafting a team?
Oh, to take down a gorilla?
Yeah.
Who's the biggest person in the world?
The
Mark
Big
Henry.
Show? Mark Henry?
Is it,
the
yeah.
Big Show? Yeah.
The Big Show, yeah. You probably need somebody like that. Somebody that can like that has like 500 pounds of mass that could just grapple
like 50
him.
Of those guys.
But if you get a couple of those guys initially just to like overwhelm them, and then you can all pile on. But you need that. You need mass. You need some hogs. The trenches. You got to put some hogs in the trenches.
Someone's going to be the sacrificial lamb here. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The mailbag, always fun.
Oh, is that the end of it? Do we have one more? That's it? Okay, what do we have coming up next? Hockey?
Yeah, we got the Blues and Jets matchup.
Yeah, who cares? But let's do one more.
Join in progress.
All right, beautiful day here in Vancouver. Beautiful week it's been. So now that the weather is nice, what is your ideal spring/summer temperature?
Spring/summer. Spring/summer, 21.
Yeah, there
we go.
That's
chilly.
Yeah.
No, 21's perfect.
Spring. Summer, I'm thinking of like summer, like spring. I mean, like this is this time now. Summer, 23, 24.
Anything past 23 is too hot for me.
Yeah. 24.
I'm going to go 27, perfect temperature.
Yeah, you're wild.
And this guy's got the UV app and everything. He's out there.
27's not that bad.
21 is perfect.
21.
22 with like a light breeze.
You can't go to the beach on 21.
No, you're right. In the middle of summer, if you want to be at the beach, it's got to be 24.
Yeah.
24, 25 at the beach is really nice.
22. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for all your questions and submissions to the mailbag. Special thanks to Elon and Costa. Great stuff as always. Producing the show here today. For my co-host, Bick Nazar. What's up?
Nothing.
No. Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the weekends.
I know you got a lot going on the weekend, so good luck to you.
I'm busy all weekend.
No, I know. I got not much going on. I might go see Sinners this weekend. There isn't a lot of sports going on, so
yeah.
I'm going to go check that out, I think, at some point. We'll report back on Monday.
Yeah, give me a shout. I'll join you there.
All right, sounds good. All right. Thank you all for listening, participating. It's always a pleasure. I'm Satyar Shah. He's Bick Nazar. This has been Canuck Central on Sportsnet 650.